This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, February 25th, 2015. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, Amiri Baraka is back in the building. Amiri Baraka died a little over a year ago. In this month's issue of Poetry Magazine, however, there's a new Baraka poem. It's from a recently published collection of his work called SOS Poems 1961 to 2013. Amiri Baraka published a handful of poems in Poetry Magazine back in the early 1960s when he went by the name Leroy Jones. In those days, he was associated with the Beats and with the New York City avant-garde of poets like Frank O'Hara and Kenneth Koch. In 1965, after Malcolm X was assassinated, he dropped out of that world and spearheaded the Black Arts movement. Here to talk a bit about Amiri Baraka and listen to a few of his poems, I'm joined by Randall Horton, a poet and professor of English at the University of New Haven. Randall, Amiri Baraka had a huge presence for many years in American poetry. When did you first start reading him, and what effect did he have on you?
It's kind of interesting. I actually didn't start reading Amiri Baraka till later on in life. I was actually incarcerated, and I didn't come to writing until a little bit later on. And so Amiri Baraka was sort of introduced to me by the poet E. Ethelbert Miller.
Mm-hmm. In D.C.
D.C. Ethelbert was one of my mentors. And then I got a chance to meet Amiri Baraka, and we actually went out to dinner at Charlie's, and that was, you know, I remember I wrote a poem actually about that. Mm-hmm. And so it was actually really interesting to get a chance to talk to someone whose work that you admired, someone that you knew had put everything on the line, his professional career, for the sake of language, for the sake of culture, for the sake of art. He didn't mind being the one out there taking the criticism because he's tried to speak a truth. And so I respected that.
And he's had a lot of criticism go his way over the years.
Oh, of course,
we can get in that a little bit later. Uh-huh. So we're going to listen to a poem called Dope.
Okay.
Jimmy Carter's president.
Right.
The crack epidemic is still in the future at this point.
It's about a couple of years away.
And so is the slam poetry movement.
Exactly.
Although nobody told Baraka it was still to come. Uh-huh. Here's how he introduced it. In 1978, to an audience in Buffalo, the recording can be found on Penn Sound's audio archive.
You know heroin, how that's used as a form of social control. Narcotics, these like this cult things used as another form of social control. And so this, I'm talking about another kind of drug. This is called dope.
This is a long poem. He's a terrific performer, and I was looking for a place to cut it so I didn't. But there's no way to cut this poem.
No, you have to get all the ooh-oohs in.
Yeah, so the listeners should sit back, and it's going to go on for a while, but it's quite good. He's quite a great performer.
Okay.
So here's Dope by Amiri Baraka, read here in Buffalo in 1978.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Ooh, 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 ray light, morning, fire, Lynch, yet. Ooh, 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 ooh. Yes, the pain in dreams comes again. Race pain, people are people, are people everywhere. Yeah, ooh, 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 yeah, ooh, 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 yeah, are people. Yes, people, every people, most people, ooh, 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 yeah, ooh, 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 most people in pain. Yes to pain and pain today. Oh, wow. Oh, wow, it must be the devil. Oh, wow, oh, wow, it must be the devil, it must be the devil, it must be the devil. Oh, wow, oh, wow, yeah, devil, oh, wow, must be the devil, must be the devil, must is. Must is be the devil, it can't be Rockefeller, it can't be him, no, Lord. It can't be DuPont, no Lord, it can't be, no Lord, no way, no way, no sir, no way, Jose, can't be them rich folks. They's good to us, they's good to us, they's good to us, they's good to us, they's good to us. I know, the massa told me so. I seen it on channel 7, I seen it on channel 9, I seen it on channel 4 and 2 and 5. Rich folks, good to us, poor folks ain't shit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, oh wow, oh wow. Must be the devil. Going to heaven after I die. After we die, everything gonna be different. After we die, we ain't gonna be hungry. Ain't gonna be pain, ain't gonna be suffering, won't go through this again after we die, oh wow, wow, after we die, it's all gonna be good. Have all the money we need after we die, have all the food we need after we die, have a nice house like the rich folks after we die, after we die, after we die, we can live like Reverend Ike after we die, hallelujah, hallelujah, must be the devil. It ain't capitalism. It ain't capitalism. It ain't capitalism. No, it ain't that. Jimmy Carter wouldn't lie. Life's unfair, but it ain't capitalism. Must be the devil. Oh, wow. It ain't the police. Jimmy Carter wouldn't lie. You know Rosalind wouldn't, nor Lillian. His drunken racist brother ain't no reflection on Jimmy. Must be the devil got in him. Must be the devil got in him, I tell you. The devil killed Malcolm and Dr. King, too. Even killed both Kennedys and Pablo Neruda and overthrew Allende's government. Killed Lumumba and is negotiating over there in Rhodesia with Step and Fetch It, Sleep and Eat, and Birmingham. Going under the name of Ian Smith. It must be the devil. It can't be Vorster. It can't be apartheid. It can't be imperialism. Jimmy Carter wouldn't lie. Didn't you hear him say in his State of the Union message, I swear on Rosalind's face-lifted catatonia, I wouldn't lie. Nixon lied. Haldeman lied. Dean lied. Hoover lied. Hoover sucked too, but Jimmy don't. Jimmy wouldn't. Jimmy ain't lying. It must be the devil. Put your money on the plate. Must be the devil. In heaven, we'll all be straight. It can't be Rockefeller. He gave Amos Pootbooty a scholarship to Behavior Modification University. And Genevieve Almost White works for his foundation. It must be niggas. It can't be Mellon. He gave Winky Suckass a fellowship in his bank. Put him in charge of closing out mortgages in the low-life Pittsburgh Hill nigger section. It can't be him. Yes, sir. 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 Put your money in the plate. Don't be late. Don't have to wait. You're going to be in heaven after you die. You're going to get all you need once you're gone. Yes, sir. I heard it on the Jeffersons. I heard it on the Rookies. I swallowed it whole on Roots. Wasn't it nice? Wasn't it nice? Slavery was so cool, and all you had to do was wear derbies and vests and train chickens and buy your way free if you had a mind to. Must be the devil. It wasn't the white folks. Them lazy niggas chained themselves and threw their own black asses in the bottom of the boats. Well, now that you mention it, there was a king-ass black U.S.E. helped throw your ass in the bottom of the boat, your mama, your wife, and you never see them no more. Must have been the devil. Give me your money. Put your money in the plate. Heaven will be here soon. Just got to die. Just got to stop living. Close your eyes, stop breathing, and bam-o, heaven be here. You have all of what you need. Bam-o, all of a sudden, heaven be here. You have all of what you need. That assembly line you work on will dissolve in thin air. Oh, wow, wow. Oh, wow, wow. Just gotta die. Just gotta die. This old world ain't nothing. Must be the devil got you thinking so. It can't be Rockefeller. It can't be Morgan. It can't be capitalism. It can't be national oppression. Oh, wow, no way. Now, go back to work and cool it. Go back to work and lay back. Just a little while longer till you pass. It's gonna be all right once you're gone. Give me that last bit of silver you got stashed there, sister. Give me that dust now, brother man. It'll be okay on the other side. Your soul be clean, be washed pure white. Yes. 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 Oh, wow. Now go back to work. Go to sleep. Yes. Go to sleep. Go back to work. Yes. Oh, wow. Wow.
Performance.
Right.
That's one of those poems. You look at it on the page, you wouldn't know what to make of it, but to hear it performed.
If you listen to it live, right?
Mm.
The first thing that sort of pops out is the whole idea of wow, 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 right? Mm-hmm. And so that's sort of like the euphoric feeling that Dope gives you.
Right.
He's sort of playing with that in a lot of ways, that all of these things that you sort of accept is sort of like a dope that's sort of used to medicate you and block you from really seeing what's truly happening.
But one way to read the poem is that everything is the opposite of what he actually says.
Oh, so yeah,
he
no.
says it ain't capitalism. He's really thinking it's capitalism.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no.
You know,
yeah, and so that, and I think it's part of the irony and the humorous part of it as well, because both you and I are sitting here cracking up.
Yeah.
And so he's always working against tensions. He's always working against something, you know, bouncing up against something, giving us something and then exposing it for what it is, or sort of pulling the covers off, as sort of Carolyn Rogers would say.
Mm. You know, it occurs to me that if he had gone and written a poem and says, it is capitalism, nobody would listen to it.
Right.
Because nobody wants to hear that.
Right, no.
But if you do it with the humor and the irony
because
that he does it.
Because it mustn't be, because this is what we believe to be holy,
right,
you know?
Right.
Of course. And to end it with amen sort of blesses the whole act in a lot of ways.
Right. And the cadence of it is a preacher gone off the rails.
Well, he's actually, you know, operating sort of within the African-American vernacular tradition when you start talking about, you know, the whole idea of sermons. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you had that thing from Phil Hollis to work songs to blues, sermons. Mm-hmm. And so all of that is sort of incorporated in. So he's actually on the stump.
Yeah.
And he's incorporating a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
As he's sort of giving you an aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
But he incorporated tradition, but it's done with deep irony. I've never heard irony so energetically presented.
That's part of the tradition.
Yeah,
the whole idea of this sort of misdirection,
mm-hmm.
the sort of play. That's what African-American, you know, vernacular sort of based on. You look at some of the earlier things. He's operating in the tradition of Shine and some of, you know, Stack of Lee.
So he comes out of a tradition, an oral tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah. he's responding to that. But it's
right.
also... Doesn't this put slam poetry to shame? Doesn't he, like, preview it all and, like, do it all right there in that poem?
Well, I mean, exactly. You have the whole performance. But, you know, Barack has been leading up to this moment for a while. And you look at some of his early performances, he definitely incorporates those sort of sounds and sort of things. But, yeah, I mean, he's sort of operating at the intersection of poetry, performance,
mm-hmm.
intellectual ideas.
Mm-hmm.
He's bringing the whole thing in a way that slam probably was intended to do, but may never do, just because of the nature of the way slam rose.
Mm-hmm.
But some people would say he's probably one of the original slam poets. So you have to give Baraka that. And that's sort of what sets him as a forerunner when
mm-hmm.
you're talking about performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's certainly a great performer.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much in him, in his poetry, that is oppositional, that's polemical.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he seemed to go a little bit over the line to provoke for the sake of provocation.
Well, I mean, if you look at the poem, S.O.S., I guess he's sort of lost his sort of patience with asking in a sort of a nice way.
Mm-hmm.
Everything after that period sort of becomes not an ask, but I'm telling you,
mm-hmm.
he's not asking anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's not polite anymore. He's not trying to skirt behind the idea of an aesthetic or what aesthetic's supposed to be. You know, there's always this argument, you know, within, you know, Gwendolyn Brooks ran across the same thing when you switch poetics and you become a little bit more, you know, militant. You get opposition and you people are saying, oh, well, are you really working in the poetic form?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's always a question when a poet turns very political.
Exactly.
Is that, have they abandoned poetry? Or that's
right, right. Yeah.
Inevitably what's going to happen. That dogged Baraka throughout the latter part of his career.
Of course.
Let me ask you this. He said he seems to have had a large effect on a lot of younger poets today. Does he still have that effect? Is he still like a central figure? And do you anticipate that he will continue to be?
I think he is. I have to be careful when I talk about the younger generation because I like to think I'm part of that still. but I think, you know, we have a lot of factors, you know, within poetry that stops the Baraka from entering, you know, a lot of young people's mind, especially when you start talking about the idea of how you're going to deal with race within a poem.
Mm.
And what does that mean when you're sort of in the war camp trying to get a book published, trying to get a poem published, editors looking at you, and somebody may not feel comfortable with that.
Mm.
And so there's always that reality. What I would always tell younger poets, younger writers, when they're sort of, you know, thinking about how to best sort of get into Baraka, if you dig into his early work, especially the critical essays, the plays, a lot of that stuff comes up later in his poems and later in what he's trying to sort of work out. So you have to look at the whole scope of Baraka. If you come into a poem and you hear something, you know, that's sort of negative, and you say, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, that's the problem, is that you can pull out a lot of small little things from his
right.
poetry and say, I'm offended.
Right.
It's offensive.
It's no shortage of that. But if you put it in its total context, which I try to do when I teach Baraka, I have to put him in his total context.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to, you know, let my students understand those things. And then, you know, then when they come to the uncomfortable parts, they're better able to handle them.
Randall, thanks so much.
No, it's my pleasure. My pleasure.
Randall Horton is the author of Hook, a memoir that's coming out this spring. Amiri Baraka's poem Dope is reprinted in the Leroy Jones Amiri Baraka Reader, published by Basic Books. We got permission to use the recording of the poem from the Chris Calhoun Agency and Penn Sound. Let us know what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.